Jason, the Bears have finally won a game this season, and they did so in surprisingly easy fashion. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, you like to make fun of me for saying this, but it's true. The Bears never have an easy win.
No, that part I don't make fun of. That's correct.
On Sunday night, they have an easy win, or they had an easy win. Probably for the first time, definitely for the first time since they beat the Jaguars in London. Maybe the first time on American soil since they beat the Panthers almost a year ago. 31-14 your score. It really wasn't even that close on a level or on a rank. How surprised were you by today's outcome?
I wasn't surprised. I thought that the Bears were the better team. Dallas has that brand recognition, but they're never as good as they and everyone else seems to think they are. And their defense was really not good the first 2 weeks, which wouldn't you expect that when you trade away a generational talent like Micah Parsons. So what surprised me is that even against the bad defense, the Bears got their offense clicking like this, because that hadn't been there. If you saw signs of this coming, I think that's either revisionist history or wishful thinking at the time, as far as the offense getting going like this.
I think that the fact that the defense was able to hold was just as surprising. They pitched a shutout.
We'll get
to Caleb Williams in the offense here soon enough, but the defense pitched a shutout in the second half. The last three drives of the game ended in interceptions, two by Tremaine Edmonds, who, you know, again, the knock on him since they signed him is he doesn't make game-changing plays. He made two of them today, and another by Kevin Byard as the clock was ticking down under a minute. They hung in there, and they hung in there okay. They got a pass rush late in the game when everybody in the building knew that the Cowboys had to throw on every play, but those count too, and Lord knows the Bears have been victims of that. I still have big-picture issues with, you know, how many points they're going to give up on a week-to-week basis, and I think that's probably not hard to sustain. But today, they were certainly good enough.
They gave up 6 yards a carry, too, which was a big red flag that we saw in the first couple games. I think they gave up 6 yards a carry in the fourth quarter against the Vikings. And what did they give up against the Lions? Like 8 a carry or something like that?
At one point, it was 11 yards a play.
That's really concerning. But one of the things I was really concerned about with the Bears defensively today, Patrick, was every time they play one of these veteran quarterbacks, and I know Dak Prescott is not what he used to be, just like Matt Stafford is not what he used to be. And when they theoretically see Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco later on this season, those guys are not what they used to be. But any of those veteran quarterbacks, if you don't get a pass rush on them, those guys know too much.
Right.
So if you don't get a pass rush on Aaron Rodgers, or Joe Flacco even, or today Dak Prescott, they have the potential to pick you up even if they're late in their career. Dak's not as old as the other guys, to be fair. That didn't happen today.
No.
And especially didn't, I was especially concerned with not only, you know, a veteran quarterback and questions about their pass rush, but Patrick, we got no Jalen Johnson now. He's on IR for at least 4 games, maybe the season, and no Kyler Gordon for a third straight game. That puts a lot on Tyreek Stevenson. And man, you can hurt your neck trying to follow Tyreek Stevenson's Bears career. The whiplash from up to down, I mean, it can just go all over the place. And today was Sunday was a really good day for Tyreek Stevenson. I don't know. I kind of have a lot of skepticism when they say this kind of thing, the players and coaches say this kind of thing, because I think a lot of things could change, but I really don't know if the game goes this way, if not for Tyreek Stevenson's strip on Dallas's first possession. That game in the first minutes was sliding towards something you've seen before, where the offense comes out 3 and out, complete dud, and then Dallas is just marching down the field.
Yeah.
Until Tyreek Stevenson catches Javonte Williams from behind and just rips the ball out of his hands.
He rips the ball out, and then he tiptoes along the sideline to make sure he gets 2 feet in while he has the ball. It's one of the better athletic plays you'll see. And the fact that he did so after being as bad as he's been in this first 2 games before Sunday, I mean, quarterbacks targeting him had a perfect passer rating this season. They don't anymore. I will be a little cynical and tell you that CeeDee Lamb getting torn to the ground as a running back and spraining his ankle in the first quarter probably made Tyreek Stevenson look a little better during the course of the game than he would have otherwise. But he really hung in there, and he
made other good plays, by the way. He did break up a pass to George Pickens in the red zone that nearly got picked off on the deflection by Jaquan Brisker. But just the mere pass deflection forced them to cost them 4 points because they had to kick a field goal. He made some other good plays.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have to be the person who matches up against the big, scary receiver on the other side.
He's got to be a number one corner, Patrick. We were talking when? A month ago? About Tyreek Stevenson still kind of fighting off Nashawn Wright and Terrell Smith for a starting job. He's got to be your number one corner now.
I think that Sunday also showed Jason, though, that, you know, we always talk, at least around these parts, about how, you know, maybe sometimes the best offense is a good defense that can give you the ball in good field position and shorten your field. I think we forget the way most of the world operates, which is if your offense is good, it means that your defense has a little less work to do and is put in very obvious situations where you can guess more accurately what's going to happen on the other side. I give Dennis Allen credit for putting the pieces back together. I also give Caleb Williams and the Bears offense credit with keeping their defense afloat for a little bit by going back and forth in the first half, going into halftime 24-14, and then allowing the defense to pin their ears back and go.
Yeah, we haven't watched the Bears much. You know, whether you're talking Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus or Justin Fields and Matt Nagy or whoever, we haven't watched them play with a lead very often. I mean, we just really haven't. I'm not saying that as a slight on them, but you don't really see what it looks like. It hit me funny when you were talking just a minute ago about Dallas being in obvious passing situations late in the game and the Bears could just send whoever they wanted in the pass rush. That sounded unfamiliar to me. Like, I don't remember us talking about that a lot. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to what everyone wants to talk about every game, every week, every day. It's Caleb Williams and followed closely by Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams, we are in total agreement. This is the best we've seen him play. And again, there's all these qualifiers on it. Dallas's defense is all torn up. They're not what you're even used to seeing from the Dallas defense. And even if it was, one game like this doesn't change everything for Caleb Williams or Ben Johnson or the team at large. But we go off what we have today, and what we have today is a lot that looked right, Patrick.
It wasn't just, I mean, he was great in like five different ways, and that's what really strikes me about this. He had a touchdown drive of one play. He had a touchdown drive of 19 plays. He had a two-minute drill at the end of the first half in which they went 70 yards in exactly 2 minutes and threw a touchdown pass to Cole Kmet with 25 seconds left to play. They had the grind-it-down drive that Jason, I want to get more into as we kind of go into the next week. You know, the 19-play drive in which they score a touchdown because they go for it on fourth and goal at the 4, up 10, where I'm not sure the book tells you to go for it. I think the book probably tells you to kick. And they go for it, and Caleb Williams throws a touchdown. He used his eyes, and you and I talked about this in the moment. He used his eyes to look away and then check back down to DeAndre Swift on a screen.
41 yards on that play.
Yeah, he used his eyes on that fourth and goal play to allow DJ Moore to kind of slip in behind the zone and sit down. He was really good a lot of different ways. He finishes 19 for 28 for 298 yards. Four passing touchdowns tie a career high. His passer rating, Jason, of
146.2.
142.6.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 142.6.
Yeah, he wasn't as good as I thought.
Is the fourth greatest passer rating in the history of the Bears.
And his career high. I think he leads the league in touchdown passes as of this recording right now.
He also wasn't sacked for the first time in his NFL career.
Those stats are fantastic. And, you know, when you think of things Ben Johnson, the reasons why the Bears fired Matt Eberflus, who, by the way, was calling plays against Caleb Williams today as Dallas's defensive coordinator, reasons why they fired him and hired Ben Johnson, number one is get Caleb Williams on track. That's it. I mean, that is, Caleb Williams is the biggest influencer on how this season and future seasons go for the Bears. So let's talk big picture. You gave us the numbers from today. Let's look at the big picture here with Caleb Williams. You got the quarterback that everybody wanted. You then brought in the coach everybody wanted, the supposed expert. And you want to see those two things merge. You want to see that high-end talent converge with high-end creativity and expertise. And you saw so much of what Ben Johnson is working with Caleb Williams on today. Those are the hard numbers that you gave us, and everybody will sign off on that and say, I'll take that. That sounds great. I think it's like 68% completions, pretty close to where Ben Johnson wants him. But there are so many subtleties that are exactly what you're looking for. Right off the top, no pre-snap penalties. No false starts, no cadence issues, no delay of game, nothing in game three. That's a positive. When we talk about, if you don't know specifically what we mean, I'm sure a lot of you do, but if you don't, when we talk about Caleb Williams using his eyes, if you think about basketball, it's almost like a no-look pass. It's not, you're not making most, for the most part, maybe Mahomes does, but you're not really making no-look passes in football. But the play that Patrick and I are talking about, the screen pass to DeAndre Swift, it's a screen pass to the left. Caleb is looking downfield and to the right, scanning everything the whole time. He never telegraphs until the very last millisecond that he's going to just dart it over to DeAndre Swift at the last second. And that in that way, because he did that, Dallas didn't see that coming at all. That's how that ends up being a 41-yard play, because they didn't anticipate at all that he was going that way. The throwing accuracy is there with his feet. Those are all things that we saw. Ben Johnson will tell you also, you can hear it in his voice, you can see it in his demeanor, that Caleb Williams' command of calling plays and actually running the offense, being the operator of that unit, looks different now than it did in training camp. It looks more authoritative and more confident. I would point out one other thing that doesn't have anything to do with that. Let's talk about the flea flicker for a second. When we say high-end talent, that's high-end talent, what he did. If you didn't see it, you need to, but most of you probably have already seen it 10 times by the time you hear this. Caleb Williams, from his own 35, Ben Johnson calls this play in the first quarter, and he said, now see, Ben Johnson downplays the whole Matt Eberflus thing, and he downplays the whole getting his first win as a coach. He acted in the post-game press conference like he hadn't even heard that they'd won. He was surprised. He started to say it was going to be a nice celebration tonight, and then he cut his own self off to say, hey, we're behind the eight ball, we're 1-2, we need to get back to 500. But he did kind of sneak it in there. He made his point about having his bag of tricks and his gadgets, and saying that he got this idea that a flea flicker would work based on watching the first two Dallas games and quote unquote Chicago defense of yesteryear. I wonder who he means. But so Caleb Williams hands this ball off to DeAndre Swift, Patrick, and we see DeAndre Swift turn around. We've seen flea flickers. We've seen the Bears run flea flickers, most of them bad, maybe all of them bad. DeAndre Swift turns around and sends this looping, arcing pitch, and I'm thinking, like, is that a Ben Johnson thing? Is that part of it? That couldn't be. That doesn't make sense. That's counterproductive to everything about that type of play, and it was a mistake.
Right.
It was because DeAndre Swift kind of got hit in the shoulder. But two things happen right there. And this is, again, this is the convergence of Ben Johnson's mind and Caleb Williams' talent. That play worked so well. I went back and watched. They did have a view available Sunday night of the All-22. You can see 10 out of 11 Cowboys defenders. At the time DeAndre Swift turns around to pitch, 10 out of 11 have bit on the run fake. The only one back there is Malik Hooker. And he's trying to catch up with Luther Burden, who is the farthest down the field, but I can never pronounce. How do you pronounce Zacchaeus' first name?
Olamide.
Olamide Zacchaeus is open in the mid-range, and Cole Kmet is open in the short range if you needed him. Three guys open on that play. That's the Ben Johnson play design. Caleb Williams takes this floating, looping pitch from DeAndre Swift, and I don't know how Caleb Williams does this. He gets that ball and gets it out so fast. That ball's in his hands and gone. It's like, if we want to stick with basketball metaphors, it's like almost like when they throw it, throw it in from the inbounds for a last second shot. That ball is in his hand and gone.
Right.
But it's gone 65 yards on a string.
I believe it's 62.1, right?
Through the air, 62.1 through the air, yeah.
Longest pass any quarterback has made all season. And he
this
did
is everything you're looking
and he
for.
Did so flat-footed without a windup. I mean, yeah,
not everybody can make that play in the NFL.
Most that, can't.
That's would, incredible. That we haven't seen enough of that type of again, that mix of what Ben Johnson can see and what Caleb Williams can do, but maybe this is the start of that.
It was a perfect play call for the moment. It was the first play of the drive. You're hoping that you can catch the Cowboys napping a little bit. And you know what else it was, Jason? It was fun. And not since Matt Nagy in 18 have they been fun on offense. And that is just... That's kind of delightful.
The last time there was fun offense in this building, Patrick, it was Ben Johnson doing it to them.
Well,
last year.
I will tell you though that this is
with Detroit
that he can talk about looking at the Bears defense of old and all of that or of yesteryear. This is the best game Ben's ever played against the Matt Eberflus defense too. Like let's make no mistake.
You don't count the stumble bum game after Matt got fired as the Matt. Okay, all right. Okay.
No, but like Matt's defense typically had handled the Lions better than most people did, and for them to attack this way,
they did have some good games against Detroit.
I really liked the 19 play drive, yeah. And you know, and to set the scene there, the Bears. Force a punt on the Cowboys' first drive of the third quarter, and then set about spending all but, what, almost 10 minutes.
9 minutes, 54 seconds off the clock for, and that's 9 minutes, 54 seconds of your defense, which played well today, but I still wouldn't trust not having to play.
Yeah, and you know, after the Bears blew an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter in their opener, you know, I think everybody in the building was sitting there going, yeah, run the clock. Like, come on, go. Like, you know, just wear them down. And they did, and it was, I mean this in the best sense, just disrespectful. It was very much a, we are going to do this, and we dare you to stop it. 11 runs in a row.
In the middle of it.
I asked Cole Kmet about it, and he said, I'm not going to lie, I blacked out after the sixth. Which is funny. But, you know, and Caleb joked about how he was hoping they'd call a pass just so they could score and be done with it.
By the way, 19 plays in a drive is the most in a drive in the NFL this season. The most in a Bears drive since a 2009 game at Baltimore.
It's the most on a touchdown drive since at least 2001.
That was a funny part that I found in the stat was, and you know this, you probably covered the game, but in 2009 when the Bears had a 19-play drive against Baltimore, it ended on a turnover.
Yeah, they didn't score.
Turnover on downs.
Yeah.
This one was what, a 76-yard touchdown drive or something?
Yeah, a 76-yard touchdown drive. It takes up almost all almost 10 minutes, and they're handing the ball off to Swift, to Kyle Manungai, which makes me happy. They're running end-arounds to Burden on third and one. They're doing all sorts of wacky stuff. And to me, I think it's interesting and it's important for two reasons. Number one, I think this might be who they are. You know, I think it's Bill Belichick that says that the first 6 weeks of the season are just spent trying to figure out who you are as a team. And I think this has a chance to be that. And number two, Ben isn't Don Coryell. Ben isn't June Jones running the run and shoot. Ben is a running coach.
When Ben was talking about Mike McDaniel when they had joint practices, yeah, he just went on and on about how Mike McDaniel knows all these things about the running game. Yes. There's so much I would love to learn from Mike McDaniel.
In the same way that Kyle Shanahan is a run game coach who has figured out how to put good passing on top of it. That's what Ben is. And I think Ben was really in his bag today. I think he was sitting there going, this is what I like to do. And, you know, that's a great formula. If you can get a lead and then do that.
They were about 50-50.
Yeah.
You can run past it.
You can win a lot of games by jumping to a 10-point lead and then draining almost all of the third quarter with the ball in your hands.
It's almost impossible to believe. You mentioned Manungai. It's almost impossible to reconcile that they pulled this off with Manungai losing 8 yards on a run toward the end of it. So they end up with, where is it here? They're first and goal from the 7 and lose 8 yards. So now they're second and goal from the 15, and they're able to rebound from that to score a touchdown. It's one of these things I say all the time about everything in football, whether it's the personnel department or the players or the coaches, is You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be problem solvers. You do have to figure out, when I make a mistake, when there is a negative play, how do I dig myself out of that? And this is going to make you happy, tickle you perhaps. Your guy that you love, Kyle Manangai, here's something I loved on that sequence. After he loses 8 yards at a really bad time, I mean, just horrible timing.
At some point, he like doubled back and ran backwards.
Yeah,
he could have lost more
yards. Yeah, he was trying to make a play, but I had my binoculars and I was looking at the sidelines, watching Eric Bieniemy, just waiting to see him lose his mind over this, and he didn't. Eric Bieniemy, a veteran coach, and you know, for all the reputation he has of being really hard on players, I think he also has a lot of perspective. What I loved was that they went back to Manangai on the next play. They threw to Manangai on the next play, and I think that is like the art of coaching. There's the science of coaching, like that flea flicker play. The art of coaching is saying Kyle Manangai is gonna be a factor here down the road. He has to be playing in games. I think Ben Johnson said that after week one. We need more running plays because he's got to be getting the ball. He's got to be getting that exposure, that experience. And I think this was an example of whether they designed it that way or it's just that's where Caleb went in his reads. I think it was really good after Kyle Manangai has a big screw up to keep him in the game and get the ball back to him.
Yeah, go right back to him. The Bears averaged only 3 yards to pop running, which is not good.
For the game?
Yeah. I'll tell you this, though, Jason. They had 6 guys carry the ball today. Only 2 of them were running backs. That's how diverse they tried to be here. They handed the ball off to T.J. Moore. They gave it to Zacchaeus. They gave it to Burton. And Caleb Williams took off and ran as well.
T.J. Moore out of the backfield. There's a couple of things that we can establish here offensively. Is T.J. Moore out of the backfield is going to be a regular part of their offense. He had 3 carries today. I know that some of that is inventive, mm-hmm. even though the Bears did that with DJ Moore before. But some of that is by necessity because they don't have running backs. They have DeAndre Swift and no one else that you trust yet. Another thing, though, that I think is pretty clear, the debate about their number one receiver is over. Yeah, we know who that is. And I think maybe this is not no disrespect to DJ Moore because I think he's still great and he was great last year. And I can't imagine the numbers that DJ Moore would have put up on a really good offense and with an experienced quarterback and a good line and a good offensive play caller last year. But I think the Bears kind of slow played Rome Odunze last year in a way that they didn't need to. I think this guy is an incredible talent. I've said all along he reminds me so much of Darnell Mooney in his intellect and his work ethic, but it's Darnell Mooney with top 10 draft pick talent. Darnell Mooney is this guy maxing out everything he could possibly do as a 5th-round pick and has gone on to have a very good and lucrative career. Rome Odunze is elite talent with that same intelligence and work ethic. And, man, Ben Johnson can do a lot with that.
His touchdown catch, the 35-yarder, it was the Bears' first score today. You have Trevon Diggs lined up against him and goes and just tries to jam him off the line of scrimmage and shoves him with his left hand or with his left arm. And when he shoves him and turns to run with Rome, Diggs just falls to the ground.
I think he missed.
Rome said he kind of swatted it away.
Yeah.
And so when he turns to run, he falls down. And all of a sudden, Rome's open. And we have seen, and we saw this with DJ Moore earlier in the season, where on a broken play or on a, you know, when you change your route because you're open.
When there's a good reason to improvise.
Yeah, but you also need to be on the same page as your quarterback because when DJ did it, DJ changed his route, Caleb didn't see it, and it was an incompletion instead of a touchdown. In this case, Rome throws his hand up, breaks his route off and just streaks down the field, and Caleb hits him wide open. That sort of connection, you know, when we talk about connection with Caleb all the time. And we talked about it last year with Rome as a rookie and with DJ and, you know, trying to figure out why is it that DJ was good with Justin Fields but not good with Caleb Williams. When we talk connection, this is what we mean. Little things like that. Your guy falls down, you put your hand up, and the ball is where it's supposed to be. And that is a really good sign for them. Also, I mean, Rome had a ball hit him in both hands at the goal line too. He does. I think there are still some cases where he needs – you know, and the got to have it moments is I think he needs to go get it. Yep. But
let's talk about where we're headed from here.
Las Vegas.
I mean, you got the Bears are 1-2 still. Like, those first two games still happened. As much as you might like what you saw in week three better, there's still that defensive liability. One game does not convince me or Ben Johnson or anyone of Caleb Williams that he can do something like this regularly. But they play the Raiders next, and even though it's on the road, that's a very manageable team. Mm-hmm. So they get that opportunity to get to 2-2. Then they have the bye week before they get into some really incredible games. They'll come out of the bye week with a Monday night football game at Washington, and waiting ahead for them after that are games like, you know, all division games still left to be played, and Baltimore and Cincinnati wasn't good Sunday, but we'll see where they're at in November. There are some very, very tough games ahead for the Bears. But for now, if we're looking at the Raiders game, it's got to build off of this. There can't be steps back after this. There can't be going to Las Vegas and having pre-snap penalties and Caleb kind of reverting in some of these subtleties that really benefited him Sunday against Dallas. And Pat, I don't know where it comes from, but the defense, I know this sounds weird to say when they gave up 14 points and had four takeaways, but man, I'm still worried about them. Very worried about them. They've got to find some way to improve. And if I don't, you know, if they get TJ Edwards and Kyler Gordon back, that will help. But I don't know if that gets them all the way to where I trust them against good offenses like Baltimore or Washington.
In the short term, I don't think it's wise to bring TJ and Kyler back for a road game before a bye if holding them out gets them back for you in week six, ready to go completely.
If they're healthy, play them. If they're healthy, they're healthy.
But Jason, we just saw what happens when you play a guy who is healthy. And
you're talking about CeeDee Lamb?
No, I'm talking about Jalen Johnson.
That's
CJ
a complicated
Edwards.
Situation, but yeah.
But yes, and I wonder if Javonte Williams can average 7.6 yards per carry, which is a lot of yards per carry. Like, what's Ashton Jeanty going to do to them? We talk about these veteran quarterbacks knowing where the answers are. Geno Smith isn't anybody's idea of a top 10 quarterback, but Geno Smith knows where the answers are, just like Dak Prescott does.
Totally right.
And that sort of attack, if the game were to play out differently than it did today, I think that attack would have, made some hay against the Bears for the Cowboys, and I think it would for the Raiders as well. By the way, quick glance at point spreads, Jason. The Bears right now are anywhere from a 1.5 favorite to a 1.5 dog, depending on where you go. So,
in Vegas, you mean?
Yeah. As always, shop for your point spreads if you're doing that. special.
You sound like a back alley financial advisor. Like, shop around for the best rate on your mortgage and the best point spread on your gambling addiction.
Not a sponsor, could be a sponsor. Any sort of point spread or a back alley financial firm, really. Special teams, nothing really happened. That's notable in and of itself. Today, anything else we are missing, Jason, in terms of what we learned today?
Well, Colston Loveland got hurt. Did we talk about injuries at all?
Yeah, he's got a hip injury. He told Steve Greenberg, our own Steve Greenberg, that he was, quote, fine.
So we expect him back. There was kind of a scary situation with Darnell Wright, not like life and death, but more, is he going to be available? He had something wrong. Ben Johnson later called it an elbow, but they were really checking his hand and wrist when he came out of the game in the second quarter. Darnell Wright, their right tackle, the number 10 overall pick from 2023. Mm-hmm. He came out. Theo Benedet came in. Darnell Wright ends up going to the locker room. He's still, even as he's about to come back in, kind of squeezing that hand, trying to get it back right. He did come back in and finish the game. Ben Johnson said not a major concern. He thinks he'll be fine.
You mentioned the Raiders' defense, by the way, and how the Bears can't take a step back. Marcus Mariota hung 41 on them on Sunday in a 41-24 win. Their standout players included Jeremy McNichols and Chris Rodriguez Jr., who are two names who I'm not sure I've ever heard until just now looking at the box score. So it's possible that the Bears could go continue what they did offensively, but we shall see. Jason, yeah, injury-wise, I think that about wraps it up. I'm trying to think if there was anything else Of note, Cole Kmet, first touchdown catch of the season, does a little baseball swing. And he pointed out that he always catches his touchdown passes in the north end zone because that's that's where his family sits.
Okay, all right.
So I encourage his family to go to every game and sit all over the stadium, and we'll see what happens. Jason, that'll do it for here. We will be back later in the week to talk about the Bears v. Raiders. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, please pick up a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.